We're in Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. Then it happened that he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. The Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need, and he and his companions became hungry? Now he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests. And he also gave it to those who were with him." Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Now, if you didn't know Hebrew law and tradition, you would think the disciples of Jesus were like Mary and Pippin, stealing vegetables from Farmer Maggot's garden in The Lord of the Rings. The law stated very clearly that landowners were to help the poor. It says in Leviticus chapter 19, "Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord, your God." You remember that when Naomi and Ruth came back to Israel from Moab, they lived on the gleanings of the fields of Boaz. The system was in place when they arrived. But Boaz, kind of falling for Ruth, instructed his servants to be very generous in what they dropped in the fields. But for Jesus, there was always trouble right around the corner. Pressure from the Pharisees and their legalistic followers. They were there earlier in this chapter when he healed the paralytic. They were there when he went to the feast with Matthew. They were there when Jesus was celebrating instead of fasting. Now they're here when Jesus' disciples were picking and eating grain. How do you handle pressure in your life? It seems like Jesus was always under pressure. Sometimes you have to show great wisdom. Here is the instruction on how to deal with hungry pythons as given to Peace Corps men serving in Brazil. Remember not to run away. The python can run faster. The thing to do is to lie flat on the ground on your back with your feet together, arms at your side, head well down. The python will try to push its head under you, experimenting at every possible point. Keep calm. That was underscored. You must let him swallow your foot. It is quite painless, and it will take a long time. If you lose your head in struggle, he will quickly whip his coils around you. If you keep calm and still, he will go on swallowing. Wait patiently until he has swallowed up about to your knee. Then carefully take out your knife and insert it into the distended side of his mouth, and with a quick rip, slit him. I don't know if I could handle the pressure. There was not only bad pressure from the Pharisees, Jesus also had to deal with the high expectations of the crowds of people who are always around him. This time, the issue was the Sabbath. The law was very clear. From Exodus chapter 34, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day, you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest time, you shall rest. The commentaries seemed endless. Work was classified under 39 different headings. Four of these headings were reaping, threshing, winnowing, and preparing a meal. Plucking was reaping, rubbing was threshing, blowing was winnowing, and eating was preparing a meal. So the disciples, out of the 39, broke four of them. The Sabbath, our Saturday, was a big deal in the Old Testament. Did you know that at the time of Jesus, Jewish leaders had established 39 Sabbath clarifications, with each having multiple subdivisions, making for over 1,500 prohibitions? There's more today. If you're Jewish and following the traditions today, if you forget to unscrew the light bulb in your refrigerator, you can't open the door. I know that because down in Rockland County, one of my friends had to go next door when her neighbors asked her to unscrew the light. She could open it as a Gentile, but they couldn't because they were following the traditions. Well, here are some of the things that you can't do on the Sabbath. It was unlawful to kill a flea that lands on your arm because that would make you guilty of hunting on the Sabbath. I'm not sure what it would be concerning snakes. If a man's ox fell into the ditch, you could pull it out. But if a man fell in, he had to stay there. You could dip your radish in salt, but if you left it there too long, you were pickling it and thus working. The Pharisees actually had discussions on how long it took to pickle a radish. You could only eat an egg that had been laid on the Sabbath if you killed the chicken for working on the Sabbath. I'm not sure how that was not working. It was okay to spit on a rock on the Sabbath, but you couldn't spit on the ground because that made mud, and mud was mortar, and that was work. So those were only a few of the 1,500. And now, of course, there are more. We might think that those laws are kind of silly, but listen to some of our own laws. Almost every state has some like these. In Florida, a woman may be fined for falling asleep under a hairdryer. In Indiana, citizens are not allowed to attend a movie within 4 hours of eating garlic. That might be a good one, actually. In Iowa, a man with a mustache is forbidden from kissing a woman in public. In Moline, ice skating at the Riverside Pond during the months of June and August is strictly forbidden. I'm not sure about July. In Normal, Illinois, it's against the law to make a face at a dog. Oh, here's a good one. In Wisconsin, it's against the law to serve apple pie in restaurants unless there is cheese on top of it. Some of us would agree with that. The Son of Man, Jesus, is Lord of the Sabbath. That's important to remember. We need to make sure that Jesus is the Lord of our Sabbath. While Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man, Jesus also said that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. We should make him and keep him the Lord of our Sabbath. When I love the Lord with all my being, I don't need a list of rules on how to live. Legalism kind of creeps into our lives, and it can creep also into churches. We tend to think others are legalistic, but we're not. It's easier to point out others' faults than it is our own. Our sin smells better than other people's. Legalists don't tolerate people who sin differently than they do. Legalism is highly contagious. I'll just leave it at that. We'll have to skip a few of these things. Legalism can take a vibrant faith and make it dull and lifeless. Legalism produces self-righteousness and judgment. We like to make our own little list of rules, don't we? The ones that we're comfortable with. And then say, well, I'm getting to heaven because I don't do this and I don't do that and I do this and I don't. But any kind of legalism usually points out our weaknesses. And legalism blinds people to who Jesus is. There's nothing that pushes a non-Christian away faster than a list of rules and regulations. Some of us inadvertently portray Jesus as a drill sergeant instead of a delightful Savior. This was interesting. While we don't read that Jesus was eating, and he might have been, the Pharisees held Jesus responsible for the behavior of his followers. This was actually a common understanding in that culture. If a rabbi's followers did something wrong, the rabbi himself was held accountable. It's good for us to just think about that for a moment, that what we do reflects on who Jesus is. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are your disciples doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you not read the scripture?" This was from Mark chapter 12, verse 10, because they kind of followed him around along with the crowds, trying to find weaknesses in Jesus. And at this point, by chapter 12, Jesus has said to them, "Have you not read the scripture?" And then in verse 26, he exposes the Sadducees. "Is this not the reason you are wrong? Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." We need to experience that power, Jesus' power, in our lives. But here in Mark chapter 2, he's quoting from 1 Samuel 21, 1 to 6. "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave to those who were with him." Jesus was appealing to David. He was one of the heroes of Israel. They all looked up to Moses and Abraham and to David, the king, the man, the Bible says, who was a man after God's own heart. The showbread were 12 loaves of bread that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. It was baked fresh every day, considered work by the Pharisees. No one but the priests were allowed to eat that bread. It's very interesting to me, thinking about Sabbath law and laws that were adhered to and laws that were broken back in Old Testament times. And I wondered as I was preparing this sermon, how could David get away with eating that holy bread? And a lot of the commentators said, one of them literally said, this is the principle: human needs transcend religious rituals. And I thought about that, and it kind of troubled me, being a bit Pharisaical myself. The law is the law, isn't it? The law should be obeyed. After all, King Saul, who was before David as king of Israel, as king, he did what was not lawful for him to do. God took his kingdom away and made David king in his place. When David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, they were going over a bump like on Route 2 here, and as the cart shifted, the Ark of the Covenant started to fall off, and Uzzah put his hand up, a very natural reaction to steady the Ark of the Covenant out of great respect for what the covenant was and who the Lord was, and he was struck dead because the law said you couldn't touch the Ark of the Covenant. No one but a priest could touch the Ark. They had special poles that they would insert in the rings that were along the side of the ark so that people could pick it up with the poles instead of actually touching it. But if you applied the principle of this commentator, human need transcends religious rituals. Well, didn't Saul have the need to offer those sacrifices? After all, the prophet Samuel was late. He was the one that was supposed to do it. Doesn't it drive you crazy when people come late? But he offered the sacrifices in the place of Samuel and received severe punishment. And Uzzah lost his life because he touched the ark. And does human need transcend religious ritual? Well, I have a little bit of a problem with that. So I studied more. And what I came up with was that David went to the priest. He just didn't go into the holy place and take the bread from the altar. He asked the priest, "Do you have any food?" And the priest said, "Only the bread that's in the holy place. But let me give that to you," and gave him the 12 loaves that were there. And David ate it and his followers ate it. David inquired of the Lord before he took that which was holy. Saul, in his wisdom, offered the sacrifices. Uzzah, thinking that it was up to him to straighten the ark, put his hand out to steady it. The law is the law. But the Lord, Jesus, is the Lord that gave us the law. And if Jesus gave it to us, he certainly has the right to adjust it to any set of circumstances. But we do have to be careful because we can become legalistic. I don't know what you think about wearing hats in church for men. You know, some of us have quite strong opinions about that. I remember one time going to a Ponderosa and there was a man there with his little league team. And he noticed that all of his team, well, maybe half of them had their hats on, and he started going at them and he was going hard at them until he realized he also had his hat on. A lot of times that's the way it is with legalists. But we had a man in one of my churches who wore a hat because he had alopecia. And that's some of his hair was coming out, and he had just patches of hair left. And so when he first came to church, he was worried about what people would think, and so he wore a baseball cap, and he sat at the back of the church, and he just didn't want anybody to take his seat in the back of the church, but he was very sensitive about the way he looked. And eventually, he became our church drummer. And he had his drums in the closet at his house and showed me when I was over visiting. I said, "Well, you should take him to church, you know, play him in church." And so he did. So before too long, he's up at the front of the church playing the drums with his hat on. And not too long after that, the hat came off because he knew it wasn't the outward appearance, but it was the inner man that was important to the Lord and to the church. Another pastor had a similar experience. He writes, "I was preaching in our previous church one Sunday when I noticed a teenager up in our balcony texting on her phone during the entire service. I found myself getting upset even while I was preaching. I couldn't believe how rude she was being. It made me want to call her out, but I held my tongue. After the service, I made my way over to her, ready to tell her what I thought of her tenacious texting during my amazing message. Just before I corrected her, I overheard her tell someone that she was really bummed out when her friend didn't come to church that morning. When she realized that her friend wasn't going to make it, she decided to text the sermon in real time to her. I was busted. She was helping a friend learn more about Jesus while I was being judgmental and legalistic." What's the application? I believe, after all of the other things that I wrote down from other commentators, I think the conclusion is that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. And a lot of the commentators, you know, were telling us how, you know, how good it is to get rest, and how even if you have the strongest body and stamina available. One guy spoke of Napoleon, who stayed awake for 4 days on his horse during one of the battles and eventually just fell asleep on his horse. Yeah, we do need rest, don't we? And the rhythms, that, you know, some of them spoke of the rhythms, but my conclusion is that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. And I think he spent that first Sabbath after his death. He rested in the grave on that day. And he wants us to enter into his rest. The writer of Hebrews said, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we have believed and entered into that rest." So our Sabbath is changed. Changed by the Lord. From Saturday, the seventh day, to the first day, when we celebrate the new life that we have in him. The Sabbath day was instituted because God, in those 6 days, created all that there is. And then on the seventh day, he rested. And so it's good for us to rest as God rested. But it's good for us to worship the Lord. Some of the old preachers said, called Sunday the Sunday Sabbath. But for us, it's not a Sabbath, it's a celebration. Celebration of the resurrection of Jesus and his lordship in our lives. Because we no longer work for our salvation. We rest in the work that Jesus did for us. God finished his work at the end of creation. Christ finished his work on the cross, and we trust in what he has done for us. So rather than being legalistic, Jesus told us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Son of Man, Jesus, is Lord of the Sabbath. We need to rest in him. We need to make sure he is Lord of our Sabbath. Lord, I pray as we end this service that we might not seek to make up our own rules, our own guidelines, but that we might come to you and make you Lord of our lives. That we might study your word and allow your Holy Spirit to teach us. That we might know how to interpret and how to apply your law in the situations of our lives. That we might be sensitive to your leading and your guidance. Help us, Lord, not to just go off on our own because we feel like it. But help us to truly be your disciples. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.